be honest with you, I'm shaking like a leaf here because I've never had that much pressure on me to get finished. Being in front of people doesn't bother me. It's being in front of people and having a time limit. That's what bothers me. But once again, I'm thankful for being here. And as we were discussing the trip, and Paul so graciously worked out my itinerary for being here, he mentioned the fact that if I had a message on faith that I felt like I'd like to share, then it would be good to bring it. And to be honest with you, I do have some standalone messages that are just one-off standalone. But most everything I preach is a series. It's in-depth and it goes on for 4, 5, 6, 7. I'm in a series right now that's up to 18 parts, and I can see it going well beyond that. I'm more interested in getting people to a destination than showing you some sights along the way. It's important that we as a people of God grow and come into the things so that the work of the ministry is being done by each and every one of you, that we're all part of it. We don't have paid professionals that come up here and do such a wonderful job, and everybody puts in their offering, and then, you know, let's the paid people do the work. We're all to do the work. And so it's difficult for me to do these one-off things, but I'm so thankful for this opportunity. What I'm going to do today is take part one of a series which has to do with faith, and just know that there's more. If I had the opportunity, in fact about 6 more times, I could get through this whole series. But I believe there's enough in this first part that you'll receive great benefit from. That's my prayer. So if you will, turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 8. I was fortunate that when I came to the Lord, it was during the tail end of the charismatic renewal, the charismatic revival that was sweeping the earth. And I came to the Lord at the end, a few years of that. And there was a lot of good things that were taking place at that time. You know, when you're in revival, things happen easily that don't happen in periods when you're not in revival. It's like things are a lot smoother and they work quicker. And I was fortunate that, I thank God that He brought me into the kingdom during that period. And I had a tremendous amount of good teaching, although incomplete, but good teaching on faith. As the charismatic renewal was coming to an end, the growth of the faith, and some people would call it hyper-faith movement, was really taking off. And we got the benefit of some of the good teaching that came of that. And we were firmly grounded in aspects concerning faith. I quickly learned that there were a lot of things that a lot of people weren't talking about when they were talking about faith. And faith was this big thing where you saw people talking about Cadillacs and big houses and God blessing, and it was all about me, 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 me. And I started pastoring, found out I wasn't a pastor, but I started pastoring and started trying to lead people into the things that were blessing to me. And I saw people whose lives were short-circuited because of other things. Their faith was short-circuited. It wasn't working. So just telling people about faith doesn't always work. There has to be some other things involved in people's life other than just faith. And so we're going to get into some of that today, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. In fact, I know that it's going to be impactful for some of you. For some of you, it'll just be informational. For others, it'll be transformational. And I really believe that. This is life-changing, what you're going to hear this morning. That's not arrogance. It may seem to be, but it's not. Matthew chapter 8, beginning of verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. I'd like to back up again to verse 10, where Jesus marveled. This was faith that caused Jesus to marvel. And Jesus said, I have not found so great faith in all of Israel. Now you have to realize that this was a centurion. A centurion was a Roman soldier who had the leadership responsibility of at least a century or 100 soldiers, at least. This was a man who was not even a Jew, not even from the nation of Israel, but he understood some things. And because of what he understood, Jesus marveled at his faith. What revelation he had produced faith in him. And so I believe there's something here that we need to see, several things that we need to see here today. The foundation of this centurion's great faith that caused Jesus to marvel was the foundation of a revelation of authority. His great faith was based upon his great revelation of authority. He understood what it meant to be a man under authority. And he understood what it meant to be a man in authority. You know, I found that today most people do not have such a revelation of authority. And as a result, their faith does not work, and their lives do not work. Now, don't shout me down now just because I'm preaching good. There'll be times in here you'll either need to say amen or oh me. Either one, whatever's appropriate. I need some response every now and then. I know you're out there. I can hear you breathing. What did the centurion understand about authority? That's what we want to see today. Remember, because we're talking about this revelation which produced faith. Faith that caused Jesus to marvel. And Jesus had no problem at all responding to that man's faith and giving him what he came to Jesus for. How many of you would like to be in this place where Jesus provides what you come to him for? Not like a genie in a bottle, but you have a relationship with him where he hears your heart and understands your heart and knows that if he gives you what you have asked of him, it's going to be a blessing to you and it's going to be a blessing to others. Now, I'd like to have that kind of faith. I'd like to continue developing that kind of faith. Now, I've learned a lot about faith as time goes, you know, has progressed. Susan and I, when we first got married, you know, I didn't have two nickels to rub together. And we had a lot of hard times. There were times when I was in the ministry, when I had nothing to eat. My wife and five children had nothing to eat but potatoes all week long. I don't know if anybody's ever been there, but we had nothing to eat but potatoes We had a big sack of potatoes. We had potatoes every way you can think of. We had them boiled. We had them fried, fricasseed, barbecued, any way you can think of. We had potatoes. Someone got wind of it. We never complained to other people. We didn't share that. Somehow, maybe somebody visited our house and saw us eating potatoes. And blessed us with a whole bunch of meat. By the time the meat arrived, the potatoes were gone. So for the next week, all we had was meat. You know, little meat, little potatoes go together. Potatoes on their own, meat on their own. We've had struggles. And I remember when we were in the church we were in stop, cease moving that way. Susan, there was all this talk about Cadillacs and, you know, faith people having money for Cadillacs. And we had an old beat-up Volkswagen Beetle that the heater wouldn't turn off. And Susan melted her purse, putting her purse up against the vent because the heat just kept coming out. That's the kind of car we drove at the time. And my wife saw this Cadillac, and she said, I'd like to have one of those. And I thought, Lord, my wife wants a Cadillac. You know, it was years and years and years. And we drove beat-up cars, and I did the best I can to take care of them. But I stayed in faith. I learned other things about faith, that it's not all about Cadillac. It's not all about us being blessed. It's about being a channel of blessing. But because we committed to faith and seeing, putting our faith and applying it to things that please God, there came a time when God honored our faith with something that really pleased us. I was able to buy my wife a brand new Cadillac. Later that year, I bought myself a Cadillac. We were a two Cadillac family. And a brand new pickup truck. And we live in a house that's now paid for. We lived in a tent in a park. A family, wife and five children, homeless. I know, like Paul said, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. But that kind of faith, we've grown in faith. We were running a business, which is now closed down, but we're running a business, and for a while, our receivables, money owed to us, was starting to grow. And Susan came to me. She said, do you know right now we're owed $15,000? That's money to come to. We're owed $15,000. She said, I'm praying for the day to come when we'll be owed $30,000. And I said, well, I'm praying for the day to come when we're paid $30,000. But every time we would increase, Susan would begin to pray, Lord, increase, increase, increase. And by the time we were at the end of our running that business, we had receivables out there of over $500,000 that was owed to us. So I know what it means to grow in faith. But I also know that, number one, it's not all about money. It's not all about cars. It's not all about right now. And it's not all about me. And when you can get some of these things straight, some things begin to happen. I'm going to have to motor. What did the centurion understand about authority? I only shared that. I'm not bragging. I'm bragging on the Lord. He did that. I have no business sense whatsoever. I don't know how. I wouldn't know how to start a business if God hadn't given it to me. I wouldn't know how to run it if it wasn't for His wisdom. I wouldn't know how to grow it if it wasn't for His blessing. So I'm not bragging on me. I'm bragging on God. But I'm saying that it took us years to develop that faith. Years. And years to find out what things short-circuit our faith. Okay, Number one, the first thing that the centurion understood about faith is understood about authority, which was a foundation for his faith. Now we're going to move away from faith and talk about authority, which is the foundation that that faith was able to operate in. Authority is not manifested as a single point. It's a line. Authority is not... Anybody ever heard the word pointicular? Good, because I just made that up. I was going to catch somebody out, but you're all too smart. Okay, I want you to help me develop this word and put it into the English language, pointicular. It is not pointicular. It is not of or about a point. It is linear. That is a word. At least in America it is. Authority, the line of authority is a line. It's linear. Authority comes down from above. First of all, this man said in verse 9, I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. He understood that he was under authority, that authority came from above him, it went through him, and it went below him. Authority comes down from above. Romans 13:1 says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that are ordained of God, the powers that be are ordained of God. Authority comes from God, so in a sense, it's not a line, which a line has no beginning or end. Theoretically, it just goes on forever in two directions. It's more like a ray. It has a beginning point, which is God, and it runs through God. And each one of us find ourselves in that line of authority somewhere. And in fact, if you'll begin to think about your lives and all the different relationships that we have, we have different lines of authority intersecting us, different places, different lines of authority for different purposes. But we are never the beginning of that, and we're never intended to be the end of it. The line intersects through us. We're a part. We are a point on the line, but the line is before us, and it's after us. All authority originates from God. The centurion understood the line of authority and his place in it. Number two, submission is the correct response to those in authority. To submit means to place or arrange under. It's to take our life and intentionally arrange ourselves under the authority in our lives. To submit means to place or arrange under. It means to resist no longer. It means to give way. It starts with a hard attitude. It comes from within. You have to forgive me as I press through this. Some things I will elaborate on, some things I won't. I would love to take more time with this, but I can't. Starts with a hard attitude. It comes from within. Submission is expressed in word and deed. He came to Jesus. First of all, Jesus didn't have to chase him down. He came to Jesus. When you're in authority, when you're under authority, and you're submitting to those, we bring ourselves to those in authority. We make ourselves available. What would you like for me to do? Where would you like for me to go? How would you like for me to do this? I don't care what he says. I'm going to do it my way. No, that's not submission. It's from the heart. Arrange underneath. And because it's expressed in word, you see how he expressed it. He said, Lord. He called him Lord. And he said, I'm not worthy. The language of submission to authority is expressed in blessing. I hope you are going to get this. It's expressed in blessing, praise, honor, agreement, listening to, out of respect, and a desire to learn. The language of submission can be summarized by a one-word word, which is yes. Yes, Lord. How can anybody say no, Lord? The two terms don't go together. He's not Lord if you say no. Amen? Obedience, then, is the ultimate expression of submission. He said, I say to this one, go. And what does he do? He thinks about it. He decides whether he wants to or not. No, he said, I say to this one, go, and he goeth. I say to another one, come, and he goes the other direction. No, he comes. Obedience is the ultimate expression of submission to authority. The third thing the centurion understood was rebellion is the opposite of submission and is the wrong response to authority. To rebel, or be disobedient, because rebellion and disobedience go together, and I don't have time to explain all that, but you'll see that proven out in Scripture, is to refuse to listen. To be disobedient comes from a root Greek word which means doesn't want to hear. Refuse to listen, refuse to be persuaded, to do things one's own way instead of the way provided. Starts with a hard attitude, just like submission, rebellion starts with a hard attitude, and it comes from within. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23, the prophet was speaking to Saul, for rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness means to press or to push against, is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. And by the way, this is after the fact. He's not saying God has given up on the thought of making you king. He was already king. He said, you're losing your position. God is rejecting you from a position you're currently in. Anybody want that? On the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew chapter 17, verse 5, while he, speaking of Peter, yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, and whom I'm well pleased, hear ye him. This is the opposite of rebellion. This is submission again. He's saying, this is my Son, hear him. And this is interesting to me. While he yet spake, Peter speaking, God cut him off. God said, Peter, I'm tired of your dribble. I'm tired of listening to you all the time. Peter, it's time for you to start listening to Jesus. I found that in people who don't have a truly submissive heart. They always want to tell you what they know. They want to impress you. There are times when we need to say, I want to get under the man of God. I want to find out what they have to say. I want to listen to what they say. My job is not to impress them. My job is to learn from them. I find a lot of young people, a lot of young men especially, they want to try to impress you, you know, so you be... I don't need to be impressed by things. I feel like I got a world of wisdom to share. I just want somebody to listen. You ever feel like that, Paul? Just want somebody to listen? The heart of submission is you eagerly want to listen and learn. The language of rebellion is expressed in word and deed, just like obedience and submission. The language of rebellion to authority is cursing, scorning, criticism, disagreement, telling you what I know in order to impress. It's summarized and captured by the one word, no. No, I don't want to do that. No, I'd rather not, thank you. The line of authority is the line or the channel of blessing. He came. This is another thing the centurion understood. He came to Jesus with this understanding of authority, which produced this great faith that caused Jesus to marvel. And why did he want it? Lord, my armor is not quite as shiny as it used to be. Lord, I want more armor, shinier armor, so I can be the best looking centurion on the block. No, he didn't come to Jesus for that purpose. He said, my servant is sick. He used his authority to take blessing down the line. You receive it from above and you pass it down. Remember, it's not pointicular. It's linear. It doesn't begin with you. It doesn't end with you. It's to pass through you. People with great faith have a great reason to have the faith. One of the questions you need to always ask yourself when you think of the word faith is, for what? For what purpose? For what reason? That doesn't mean God doesn't want to bless you. But he doesn't want you to be a vessel that just holds it. Everybody knows what a garden hose is, don't you? We are to be not like a vessel that holds water, but like a garden hose where water passes through us. How many of you ever heard of a water hose that doesn't get wet? You'll get yours by allowing God to pass what he wants through you. Amen? Listen to Romans chapter 13, verses 3 and 4. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is a minister of God to thee for good. Who is he? He in authority is supposed to be a minister of God to you for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. The centurion also realized in this line of authority that Jesus was above him. He recognized and submitted to Jesus' authority, calling him Lord. We must learn to recognize the authority that Jesus has invested in others as well as the authority that he has and possesses himself. Jesus has established the line of authority. That's his plan. That didn't come after the fall. That's not a product of the devil. That's not something we should curse. That's something that we should receive and be blessed in. The line of authority is the line of blessing, and there are people that he has put above us. You know, when we talk about in the church, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord. Do you realize people have greater authority than you in the church? I think that's one of the problems that we have in Christianity today when we begin to realize that God deals with each one of us individually, and we have a relationship with him, and he loves us, and he speaks to us, and he doesn't have to speak to us through Paul or Daryl or the elders, but he speaks to us individually. We realize that, and all of a sudden, we don't need these guys anymore. No, God does both. He speaks to us individually, and he has those who are in positions of authority, and God says to listen to them. Honor them. Obey them. So what's the summary of what the centurion knew about authority? Authority did not begin and end with him, that there was a line of authority. He was both under authority and in authority. And later on in the series, I talk about the difference between being under and in authority. And how you have to learn. You have to grow in both of those. Nothing comes natural. We're by nature rebellious people. So when it comes to authority and submission to authority and being in authority, those things have to be learned and have to be learned according to the Word of God. He also learned, he knew that as a man under authority, he knew how to recognize and take heed, submit to, and to honor, and to please those over him. As a man in authority, he knew that he was to provide for, he was to provide guidance and instruction, protection, and blessing to those under his authority. Being in authority is not a position where you just sit there and lord things over people. To start with, you have no authority over somebody who doesn't willingly submit. Well, you might have authority given by God, but you can't exercise it because you cannot make people do things that they don't have a heart to do. It's a heart matter. God's kingdom operates on a system of recognition of submission to Him and His delegated authority. Romans chapter 13, verse 2, "Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation." The word ordinance there, and I'm almost finished, right on time. The word ordinance means arrangement or order. Listen to this. "Therefore, whoever resists the power, resists the ordinance of God." If you're resisting authority, you're resisting God's order. You're resisting God's arrangement. In fact, you're resisting God. And the word resisteth comes from the same root. It says, which means to be against arrangement or against order. So if you are resisting that order, you have made yourself against it. And if God established it, who are you against? There is a correct arrangement in order to things. His delegated authority is to be properly recognized in these major areas: the home, His church, our jobs, and civil government. I've got to stop there. If you want to have great faith that causes Jesus to marvel and causes God to move on your behalf, two really important things that will short circuit. There's others. But not being properly aligned in understanding of biblical authority and not recognizing and discerning the body of Christ. There's two things. And if you think about it and go through the whole thing, even that, discerning the body of Christ, is not understanding the authority that God has invested in other people, in the body of Christ. It all comes down to having a heart of submission, a heart that wants to please God, a heart that wants to be a channel of blessing to others. Let's pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank You. I praise You. I thank You for this morning. Lord, I pray that as You have begun to speak to many in this congregation this morning, that You would continue. And Lord, if there's something that is out of order, that is not in proper arrangement, whether it be in the home, whether it be in the workplace, whether it be in regards to civil government, whether it be in regards to church, Your church, Lord God, I pray that You'd bring conviction. I pray that You'd bring correction. And I pray, Lord God, that each one of us, that our faith can increase. Lord, that we can use that authority that You've given us and the faith that grows to be a blessing to Your heart and a blessing to the world You put us in. In Jesus' name.